great stuff out of here.
Love is in the air, Northeast Ohio.
Soleil, like down Euclid.
Oh. Throw the hammer down.
Cleveland, this is for you.
What up, King James Gossip? This is King James Gospel's podcast featuring co-expert Nathan Beatley, my co-host, contributor Jared Hesketh, and our returning guest, contributor Dan Gilski. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing well, except for the Cavs talk.
Yeah. All right. Now, before we get into all our Cavs news, let's go with two quick questions about the NBA in general. Who do you guys view as the biggest all-star snub this year? There's a couple really good ones. The East has some, like Drummond, Simmons. I'm going to go with Chris Paul. But he's missed 17 games, but 19 so points, 9 assists. His team's amazing. I feel like that would be much more warranted over Clay. I just feel like the Rockets, number 2 in the West, need that second all-star.
I'm going to have to go with Paul George because I cannot be convinced that Draymond Green is having a better season than Paul George. Paul George is leading the league in steals. He's averaging a little more than 2. Shooting 40% from 3, 20 points per game. I mean, Draymond's like obviously an all-around great player, but it's Paul George.
I'd go with CP3 too, just because you look at the record when he's in there and when he's not, and they're just so hard to account for with him out there. And obviously brings that defensive element too. And you pretty much replace Patrick Beverley with Chris Paul. You can just tell how much exponentially they're a better team. And I mean, PG is in that discussion too, but personally, I think Draymond Green's always an all-star. I mean, I don't love the dude, but you look at all the advanced metrics and all he does defensively, being able to switch really 1 through 5 a fair amount of the time. I just feel like he's kind of a perennial guy in that realm. So I'd say Chris Paul, though.
I definitely feel that because that's the answer I went with. My second question. Yeah, it's definitely there's a couple because Drummond made it. You could even argue that Love. You could even argue that Love shouldn't have made it.
Lou Will got snubbed. We can't forget about him.
Lou Will, the Clippers are trash, and they don't – I don't think Lou Will should have got in over Clay or anyone.
Yeah.
But my other question is, did you guys hear about the John Wall, J.J. Barea beef?
Yes, when he called him a little midget.
Yeah. Do you think that there's any way that J.J. Barea could take John Wall in a fight?
No. John Wall's a straight thug. Actually, you know what, J.J. Barea, he's a mean little guy. But if I had to bet my money on it, I'm going John Wall.
Dan, John Wall or J.J.?
Clearly John Wall. Yeah. He just got the reach in general. Like, there's not much J.J. Barea is going to do. It'd be like when you see like a bouncer like grabbing somebody's head when they're trying to punch them and they're like running into them or something. It's like... No,
yeah, that's the first thing I thought of. And do you guys actually believe that his teammates don't like him? Because I'm not buying that either.
Whose teammates?
John Wall's. Because didn't Barea say that?
Oh, yeah, he did. No, I don't buy that. I think, how can you not love John Wall? He's awesome.
I mean, you say that, but you'll know how they are behind the
right
on the court, behind closed doors, you know.
I mean, I guess... I don't really see any like intangibles that like his teammates wouldn't like about him. I mean, he could be like mean, or I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't say so.
Dan, like, do you buy into that?
Yeah, I don't really either. Like, what standing does he really have? Like, who does he know in that locker room? I mean, maybe he knows somebody, but yeah, I think that's just all BS.
Fair. That's kind of what I was thinking. Just thought we'd throw those in there before we really got into the Cavs grind. So this past week we went 1-2. Pretty tragic. We, as you can recall, up 20 at half against the Magic, 1-1. We lost to the Thunder, ABC primetime 3:30 game by 24. They shot 58%, and we gave up 148 points, which is the most any LeBron team has ever given up. And then, you know, you thought they've been losing a lot, so they're going to come out with some energy, to a Kawhi-less Spurs. Yeah, you would have been wrong because they lost that by 12 points. So we know the struggles are there. We know the struggles are real. And for a while, I feel like as a Cavs fan, I thought we were just hiding the struggles. We were like, we can snap out of this. We don't need a trade necessarily. But now I think it's almost at that point where there's no coming back. Right. So what do you guys have any other takeaways from those three games besides the defense and other issues that we can noticeably see?
During the Spurs game, you could tell that they did not want to be there. Nobody was trying. I don't even think LeBron really cared about the 30,000 point as much as he really wanted to, because like they looked so out of place. Like they don't even look like an NBA team almost. They were getting torched by Tony Parker and LaMarcus Aldridge. DeJounte Murray played really well. J.R. Smith scored big fat zero. It was bad.
Dan, any other takeaways from this past week of games?
Yeah, I mean, he pretty much hit the nail on the head. And I know IT's injured. I mean, he's clearly not healthy. But, I mean, that one possession where Kyle Anderson, of all people, who, quite frankly, I think I might beat in a 40. Like, just took the ball from end to end with, like, Isaiah Thomas was literally, like, riding his coattails, like, he was behind him, like walking the ball down the floor and had pretty much an uncontested layup, like end to end. I just don't see, I'm not going to call out the Cavs for non-effort because I really don't know what's going on in the locker room. Clearly, I'm not going to say I do, but the OKC game and even in the Golden State game, which is, you would think, like through three quarters, it was pretty neck and neck. It seemed like we were defensively. But we just run out of – like in the fourth quarter, typically, when you look at the first couple months of the year, the Cavs were always like near the top in terms of clutch net rating and stuff like that. And they found a way to be better defensively in the fourth quarter. Their stats were way better in that quarter. Now they're like so much worse. And, I mean, our defense is about on the same par as the Sacramento Kings, so – that just tells you what you need to know.
I think we're like a tenth of a point away from being ranked last in defense.
Yeah, it was Zach Lowe tweeted it was a tenth of a point away, I think.
Yeah, it's bad. And one more thing, during the Spurs game, did you guys see when Love got elbowed by LaMarcus Aldridge and he fell on the ground?
Oh, God.
And Jay Crowder just stepped over him. Just he looked at him, stepped over him, went and got the ball. And then there was another situation where Isaiah Thomas was fouled and he was on the floor. And people were just looking at him, and he screamed at LeBron and Jay Crowder to help him up. I mean, you can tell they're not having fun.
At that point, you can really tell that they're not playing for each other anymore.
No, they're not having fun playing.
And the crazy thing to me is that they're still somehow third in the East.
What makes me really mad is the Celtics have lost four straight. Like, this could have been our time to, like, gain some ground on them, and we just keep sliding. And, like, I don't know if the Celtics will have another slide like this, and I doubt they will because they're a really good basketball team. But I think we're blowing our chance to get the one seed or even the two seed.
All right, so the midseason collapse, the slump's upon us. One thing that we all know is that changes are coming. Tyronn Lue said after the other game that we have changes coming. Who's not starting? Because it's hard to say that the guy you traded for, Kyrie Irving, isn't starting. J.R. Smith, he said he doesn't have an issue for it, but I also feel like he's got some pride issues, and I'm not sure who you would start over him. Like, do you really want to bring Dwayne Wade off the bench into the starting lineup?
Well, if I had to choose, I have two stands.
Well, what do you think is going to be the new starting lineup?
What do I think or what do I want?
What do you think? I don't care what you want.
I think Lou's just going to bring in Double T and move Love to the four. And then Jay Crowder either goes to the two or he goes on the bench. But then again, I wouldn't be surprised if Lou decides to start Korver and put JR to the bench, which I would prefer, by the way.
Well, I think that's almost the thing that has to happen for Korver to get back on. Because if you notice, Korver struggled the last couple games because Rose and Wade are both on the second unit and Thompson. Yeah, they fly out to Korver. They can double him. He's not really athletic, so he can't really get out of that. He panics and just tosses it back to the top of the key, and that set's ruined.
I think it's in the team's best interest to start Korver.
All right, Dan?
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. As, like, you just said it right there with D-Wade and Rose going to the rack. And, I mean, Wade has that nice step-back J here and there and the nice turnaround. But, yeah, Korver's just getting smothered on the wing. So he's got to be probably playing the three with Love, and TT will probably go to the five. I mean, for some reason, Tyronn Lue loves TT even with Love. I don't understand that, but I would think that's probably what Lue will do, is probably move, get that four and five combination of Love and Thompson, which has been an issue for so long. But when you look at the net rating of -22.8 of the current starters, like, they have to do something, I guess, defensively that might help. But Kevin Love will still probably get isolated in pick and roll defensively, which really won't help. And the problem is, when you put Korver next to TT and Love, the perimeter defense with JR lacking there this year and Isaiah Thomas being a complete sieve at the point position, the defense is probably not going to be much better, because Tristan Thompson's rim protection is probably slim to none at this point. But you have to try to do something drastic, and with the trades will probably come. But yeah, it'll probably just be Lue doing his typical Love at four and TT at the five. So I'm with Jared on that, but you kind of have to put in Korver at this point to see if he can get going.
Yeah, so nothing too crazy coming. No Derrick Rose over IT, nothing like that.
What do you think, Colin? What do you think, Nathan?
I would like to see IT benched personally. I think he would.
Oh, wow.
I think he would do much better off the second unit, and I think maybe play without a point guard. Maybe that's how you get LeBron to really start caring and to get him to have the ball in his hands more.
Maybe.
Because I feel like, I think we had a writer. Oh, who was it? It was our Elena Brown. She wrote yesterday on how when LeBron kind of slumps.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, it was a terrific piece. But yeah, so shameless plug, go check it out. It was great. It was our first piece, actually. And it was about when LeBron slumps, the whole team follows him. And it's true. It's actually really true. If you watch the game, if LeBron's disinterested, the Cavs are taking a 30.0.
Yeah.
So I kind of say, you put LeBron at the point guard, you start Korver, start Smith, start Green and Love.
You want to start Smith?
I mean, I'm okay with starting Smith. I know what Smith is going to give me. He's going to give me mediocre three-point shooting and pretty bad defense. So, why not start him?
Mediocre is – that's being nice. He's like 5 for 31 in the past 7 games.
You know what I don't understand is, why does J.R. Smith, I have seen pass open so many floater opportunities from probably like 9 or 10 feet. He's actually good on that shot off the dribble. He can make those.
He's doing a lot better driving than he is shooting threes now.
Well, but him passing up those shots forces turnovers, because that's basically a turnover. And he does that so often, and he'll kick it out to like Crowder, who will pump fake one time, take it one dribble back, and then shoot a long two and brick it, and then we'll give up transition baskets the other way. Like, there's so much wrong with J.R. Smith that it has to be there's something, he's in his own head. But he's not just playing bad like his bad offense is leading like us playing bad defense, and so he's just been terrible.
Do you think that LeBron's and Kyrie's ability to just take games in their own hand, now that we don't have Kyrie, do you think that unveils or reveals the weaknesses on the team? Do you think Kyrie's playmaking kind of just?
I mean,
do you think we would have had these same issues last year, same team, if we would have had IT all season? Do you think Kyrie was the one basically holding the glue together on this dysfunctional team? Because we had the same slump last year, but they won like 8 in a row towards the end of the season. I'm not sure this team's doing that.
I don't know. It's hard to say. It's a totally different team. I don't know.
Yeah, top from bottom for sure. But we all can agree one thing's happening. We're making a trade.
Multiple.
And we're changing the starting lineup, maybe making multiple trades. Who really knows what we're doing? But if you're it's Kobe Altman, right?
Yep.
Yep.
For some reason, I always think it's a D instead of a B. But if you're, yeah, if you're Altman, who's on the block?
Like everybody. Everybody except for LeBron James and Dwayne Wade.
Wade doesn't really have value elsewhere.
Well, I'm saying Dwayne Wade because that's LeBron's boy. You can't trade him. That'll piss LeBron off so much. You can't do that.
Oh, yeah. If I saw Dwayne Wade was in a trade, I'd be so shocked.
Right. So I say LeBron and Dwayne Wade, and I want to say Kevin Love, but I almost can't say Kevin Love because I want to say Kevin Love is untradeable, but I can't because I think he holds the most value on the team. I'm not sure if I say
Thomas. I'm going to tell you this. If they trade Kevin Love, they're going for Cousins. Because I've heard a lot of people theorize that trade, and Cousins for Love and the Brooklyn pick, like Cousins would do really well with Davis. That's right. What I'm saying.
You mean Love would do really well with Davis?
Yeah. Cousins does well with him, but Love is the type of player that Davis needs with him.
Well, the thing is, I don't think New Orleans is going to trade Cousins. I would love to get Cousins, but I don't see it happening.
Oh, especially not after that like 40, 20, and 10 night.
That was incredible.
Yeah, I think they're riding out that like anti-analytics deal. And I guess it's really not even anti-analytics because both of them can hit threes too. Like, I don't see why they would bring in Love. I mean, well, it's hard to say. Would you think they would maybe – like, do you think – there's any hope at all whatsoever we could maybe get Anthony Davis instead, or is it just Cousins?
No, I don't think they'll trade Anthony Davis for anything.
I was actually thinking about this the other day, and the Cavs slumped at the worst time because
they did
earlier on in the season. We were theorizing, can we get Paul George? Can we get DeMarcus Cousins? Can we get them if the Pelicans drop and the Thunder drop? But instead of them dropping, it's us who looks like we really need help now. If I'm the Clippers, I'm not trading DeAndre Jordan unless I'm getting the Nets pick because I know that the Cavs need DeAndre Jordan.
We're desperate, exactly.
And we have no leverage with anybody.
Right. Let me rephrase who's on the block because I think I exaggerated it a bit. If I'm Colby Altman, I'm not trading LeBron, D. Wade, Korver, Jeff Green. And then you can throw in Love, maybe. But those four players, for sure. LeBron, D-Wade, Korver, Jeff Green. Everyone else, they could go. I don't want to see IT go. I don't want to see Love go. But you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
The only one that I don't want to see go, I'm actually okay with if IT leaves. I just don't want to see Chetty traded. Well, the thing is, he has value. He has value. Unlike all the other veterans, Chetty has value.
I don't think he's untouchable, but I don't think Dan Gilbert will allow him to be traded.
You know what's been ticking me off is the Cavs will be down 10, and Chetty will just get garbage time minutes. He puts in so much more hustle than Jay Crowder.
Yeah. You know what? Would you guys – how about this starting line? Would you be mad if Chetty started over JR?
I mean, I wouldn't be mad if Chetty started. I don't think it'll happen.
Sorry.
You don't go from garbage time minutes to starting. Not in the NBA.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be mad about that.
Go for it, Dan. My bad.
No, you're fine. I was going to say I wouldn't be mad, but JR would probably be mad.
Who cares if JR's mad, though?
No, I don't know. I was just being sarcastic. But
JR's not doing anything for anybody right now.
I've... it almost seems like JR theoretically is untradeable because no one probably wants JR at this point.
Nobody wants his contract.
Nobody does, yeah. No.
Well, I've always thought it was the same with Thompson. Because Thompson's making, what, like $18 million?
I think he's making $16, but you could be right. I think it's
it was $16, yeah.
That's still a lot for a player that doesn't really have an offensive game or really a defensive game.
The thing with Double T, though, is he's young. JR is not – he's not going to get any better from this point. Double T has –
TT is not getting any better.
I'm not saying he's going to get better. I'm not saying he's going to get better. I'm saying he's 25 and JR's 32. He has more value than JR.
He's 25.
I think he's 26.
Yeah. Okay, he's mid.
Oh, I thought he was like.
He's significantly younger though.
No, he's young. Yeah.
Yeah. So as far as who I think is on the block, well, actually, I'm going to say it how you said it before and who isn't on the block. I'm just going to say everyone is other than LeBron, D-Wade, Korver, Green, and Jetty. Sorry. I think we're holding on to him, actually.
Right. I agree.
All right. Let's check out our – all right. I have one more kind of interesting question for us. Who gets picked last in the All-Star game draft? Sorry to just veer away from that, but I think we all know a trade's coming. We all know something's happening. A lot of us don't know what. We can theorize a lot in there, but the trades will come, and we'll definitely discuss them when they happen, but I don't want to spend too much just theorizing on who we think's we're better off without because we're basically better off without two-thirds of the team.
Who do I think? Personally, I think Kyle Lowry will probably get picked last, just because, like, overall, I think he's. I'm not like saying worse is.
Is I don't a know. Lack he can give terms. You some 3-point shooting and some oh, right.
He's
defense.
He's a lack. Of, that's worse is a lack of better terms when you're talking about an all-star draft. Like, you can't go wrong with anybody. But I think when you look at the overall talent, if I was a captain, if I was LeBron, or if I was a Steph, I'd probably pick Lowry last, personally.
Dan, who's your last pick before we get into our mailbag?
Probably Brad Beal. I think a lot of teams like is kind of being like fun, and you have guys like Giannis or like Steph with the handle, stuff like that. I feel like Bradley Beal, not that he's a bad player by any stretch, but he just doesn't have a whole lot of charisma, and I feel like people might not know him as well, so I think probably Brad Beal. Unfortunately, he's a first All-Star guy, but I don't really see much in terms of showmanship he has, so maybe him.
Personally, I think I'm going either Horford or Love.
Love?
I like Beal. Okay, so don't get me wrong man. Here.
That'd it's be the all ultimate about, troll job.
It's all about athleticism. In my opinion, you get players to be athletic, and the more athletic, I feel like the more value you have. And I want to see – I think Beal will get drafted early. I think Lowry will even get drafted early because if you can put points on the board in a fast time, that's why I think Horford's probably last just because he's a great defender, but is there any defense?
Right.
I don't know.
I could see Horford being picked last. I don't see Love being – I think LeBron's going to pick Love early, actually.
I don't think he'll pick – I don't think LeBron will pick Love early.
He will. He'll make a statement. That's my boy. And everything will be perfect.
All right.
Well, so, Al Horford will get does he, if he got points off ball, he'd be like the first pick. So.
All right, you heard it here first. Al Horford is the last pick. Celtics suck.
And right, go Cavs.
Go Cavs. We've only won like 3 of our last like 15.
Right.
All right. That said, for the first time in a couple weeks, we actually have a lot of mailbag questions.
Let's
go. We're going to try to get into those really quick. We got all 3 of them from one of our Facebook posts. Vicky Jones was wondering, why is Cleveland playing so bad? Is it Coach Lou's fault, or should the players be replaced?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to go with both. I think Lou should be fired. I think David Fizdale should be hired. And I think
ooh, that rhymed.
It was bars. Mm-hmm. Leave this in there. And I think a lot of the roster has to be traded. I think for us to, like, the relationships are not good. So it's not like anybody will be upset that someone else is traded.
Yeah, it's such a fairly new team that unless you're Wade or James, you don't really have a bond or love.
Exactly. Right. So, yeah, I say it's both. But you got to do something, whether it's trading multiple players away or doing something with Lou. You got to do something.
All right, Dan. Is it Lou or is it the players? Is it both? What should they do?
Yeah, I'll put it more on the players, I would say. That's a very good question. But obviously, the head man in basketball is going to get more of the blame a lot of the time since it's such a players-driven league. And, I mean, yeah, I'd be 100% fine with Lou going and Fizz coming in, but I just don't know how that's realistically going to happen because Fizz has said or reported to have said that he's probably not going to come here because LeBron's indecision and whether or not he'll sign or not sign, that sort of thing. But I would say it's more on the players, and obviously Altman and company have to make some tough decisions here. And like you said, Nathan, since it's such a new team, it's like everybody seems like they're so transient, and how we really haven't had that cohesiveness yet because we haven't been together that long. At least a fair amount of the pieces haven't. So yeah, I would say it's more on the players, but obviously Lou deserves a lot of the blame too because if you look at the defensive ratings. For example, since he's taken over each year, it's just gotten worse and worse. And yeah, he deserves a lot of the blame, but I would say it's more changes have to be made from the roster standpoint.
Exactly. And I think when you're looking as a Cavs fan, I think one thing that we didn't hit on this week, which we should have probably, is the way that how the Spurs came out and how they said how they handled the LaMarcus Aldridge trade situation. And I kind of almost would wish that we would fire, Griffin's already gone, but I kind of wish we would fire Lou just because he didn't go to Kyrie and say, how can I make you happy? Because that's how this all would have been avoided if we just did that. But
you cannot compare Popovich and Lou. That's one of the problems.
Yeah, Popovich, I mean, you can't compare them, but you can ask for that type of demeanor in a clubhouse.
Right.
And I think for the second part of that question, I honestly think half the battle is firing Lou. I feel like half the battle is also ridding the team of the negative, almost. I almost feel like J.R. Smith's a player that has to go. You just have to find a way to let him go. Unless he can... Because J.R. Smith's just so contagious. If he doesn't play well, the team doesn't play well. It's almost like a mini LeBron. And if he's very discontent, then you're going to see that in the whole demeanor of the team, in my opinion.
And let me say this. If that report of J.R. Smith being fine, if he got a bench role, that could be huge for the Cavs. Because like you said, his emotions, they translate to other people on the team. Like they're very... I don't know the word.
Let me ask you guys.
They're contagious. Yeah, they're contagious.
He's definitely a big part of like the pulse of the roster.
Yeah.
Do you think when Dwayne Wade said that, I believed it. But do you think J.R. Smith said that to be politically correct and not to cause trouble, or because he's actually fine finally coming off the bench?
Well, I didn't see the interview. I read about it, and I don't know if there was a video, but I think at this point. How bad the team is doing. I think he's a little more sincere about it than he was before. Because he ended his statement with, I just want us to win. So I could see it. I could see it being sincere. I hope it is.
Yeah. I'd be at this point because the stats don't lie. Like he can't hit water if he fell out of the boat right now. So you have to have a little bit of self-awareness. And I think, as the years have gone on, especially since he's been here, when you look at how initially earlier in his career, he didn't even play a lick of defense. And up until this year, he has at least been a pretty effective perimeter defender. So you have to think there's, like you said, it has to be some truth in that, even though it's not totally in his DNA to be content with that. But he's had success off the bench in his career before, and I think it definitely would help us if at least he said that meaningfully.
Right, right.
Yeah, for sure. And we're just going to go ahead and move on to our second question. I think we covered that one adequately. This is kind of funny. Patricia Dosky said, "Where the hell is Fry?"
He's going to sack, baby.
So, does anybody know where Fry is? He's obviously on the bench. Is there any good reason why we haven't at least tried to play him? It's just like Chetty. Why not give him meaningful minutes?
Well, Fry is going to be traded to Sacramento. But if she's talking like before that, beats me. I have no idea. I'd rather have him play the second unit than Tristan Thompson because he works really well with Korver. But yeah, he's most likely on his way to Sacramento anyways. So,
Dan, where's Fry?
What Jared said, pretty much. Probably doing a podcast right now. So,
hey, at least this way he'll be closer to Richard.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that's a good point.
Right. He's probably saying his farewells on his road tripping right now.
He'll only be like six hours from Denver now.
He'll get bought out, though.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, and then we'll sign him back. I don't know. Maybe, that's like a $10 million contract.
Maybe the Warriors pick him up or
something. I was going to say, hey, yeah, maybe he'll go to the Bay, too, unfortunately.
Nah, I don't think he'd do that. Maybe he will. I don't know.
I mean, Virgil pretty much did that.
Maybe he'd go to, like, the Spurs or something like that if he got more. I'd like to see that. Just for that.
Yeah, I would, too.
I could kind of see him on the Spurs, too. He's got that veteran swag to him that he's like, I play for the Spurs.
Right. Hey, or maybe he goes to Denver and reunites with RJ.
That'd be cool, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a one-trick Clydesdale with a ring, so he's fine.
Yeah, he'll retire in 2 years and continue making funny remarks on Twitter.
You think he's got another 2 years in him? I don't know about that.
Oh, no. This could be his last run, just like RJ. RJ's done after this year.
But these have been some fire questions, though. Questions, for sure.
All right. The last one's even pretty good, too. Jackie Skinner, again, all of them from Facebook. Give our Facebook a look. She said, "Why is Lou still the coach? He doesn't know how to use timeouts."
That's a question we've all been asking. I'm not sure why Lou is still the coach.
Out of curiosity, we all saw a Pop call a timeout 14 seconds into the game, right?
That was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
That is how you use a timeout right there.
That was incredible.
You give up a three, timeout.
Right. And you could tell the Cavs players were like, "What the hell just happened?" But I don't know why Lou's still the coach. Along with his misuse of timeouts, there's a lot of other things he doesn't do very well, in my opinion.
Finally changing the starting lineup after...
Yeah, I mean, he's about a month late on that, but at least he's trying, you know? I don't know. I guess the front office likes him. That's my only answer. And a lot of basketball analysts like him, and I'm not sure why.
All right, Dan, why is Lou still around?
Yeah, maybe he's a nice guy.
He must be a real nice guy.
People feel bad for him for being stepped over back in the day. I'm trying to think of – I'm not really sure. Maybe he has a boyish charm. I don't know.
Maybe they're just trying to give him the career he always deserved as a player.
Yeah, that must be some of it. I really couldn't tell you. Maybe LeBron likes him. I don't know. But his timeout usage, has been pretty bad. It seems like some games he either calls too many timeouts
or too little.
Or he waits like a quarter and a half too late to make lineup changes, even in game two.
So, yeah, along with the misuse of timeouts, he doesn't put the best – or he doesn't – use his rotations very well, and he doesn't put the best lineups out there on the court either.
Right, and like, why does he only play Chetty during that good stretch we had? Was getting meaningful minutes, like especially at the end of quarters, things like that. Like, I don't understand why during timeouts, when Jay Crowder's shooting 12% from the field in a game, you can't take him out and put in somebody that's willing to put the work in, and somebody, I mean, obviously not now, but yeah, it beats me as to why he's still our coach. I think at this point, they're probably just trying to weather the storm, like until the trade deadline, maybe. To see if maybe they're trying to give him a couple pieces to see if he can flip the switch, if you will. But yeah, as far as the timeouts go, it's such a case by case thing where I think the Cavs have, I don't know if it's as much situationally that we're having problems as much as it is the roster just has not worked out. And Lou is trying to play with a lot of pace. If you look at it, the Cavs in the month of January had the second highest pace of any team in the league and were 3-10 in the month of January. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, Lou loves to play with pace. So I don't understand it at all. Yeah. Basically, both of them.
Yeah.
So that said, there's still a lot we don't understand. I don't know why Lou's coach. I don't honestly pay attention to the coaching much. I pay attention to a lot more of the subs. And I've seen times where it's almost like it was, I think it was the Thunder game. What were we down, like 16 to like 4 or something? And the second unit just then hits the court. Like, if our second unit's playing better, you got to let them, you got to get them in quicker. Like, surround LeBron with those guys. Give him a fighting chance at least.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's a lot more on the subs. I don't know. I just don't pay attention to timeouts too closely when I'm watching the games. Well, that wraps up a nice mailbag session.
Yeah, that was nice.
Thankful for the questions. And we have our game previews now. 4 games this week, and hopefully we pray we don't go 0-4 because it's 4 Eastern Conference contenders. You got the Pacers at home, the Pistons at home, the Pistons away, and then Miami at home, and that's a back-to-back with the Pistons game before it.
Oh, my God.
So I already got Dan went with a win against Indiana, a win against Detroit, a loss, and then a loss. What do you think is going to happen this week?
Me? Okay. I don't know, dude. Every week we do this podcast, I'm waiting for the Cavs to pull it together, and then they don't, and then I get all sad. So against Indiana, we're 0-3 so far this season. Are we playing there or in Cleveland? I think we're playing in Cleveland.
And as they say in baseball, it's hard to beat a team 4 times in a row.
Unless you're the Cavaliers. I'll go with a win against Indiana. Detroit, I'll go with the second game. Is that in Detroit or in Cleveland? Do you know?
It's a home and home. We play in Cleveland.
It's home and then away.
Okay, so it's home and then away. Okay, so
yeah.
I'm going to go win against Indiana, win against Detroit, loss against Detroit, win against Heat. On 3-1.
So you do have some hope here. You're building hope back in this
team. I always do have faith, and you know, we'll see what happens.
Do you guys know what I just actually learned the other day?
What?
That we name our picks of the week 21 Shump Street, obviously after Iman Shumpert. And that Shump Street is actually a street in Portsmouth, Ohio.
Really?
That's fun facts for you to end the episode.
I made that up. I made that up for my fantasy basketball team.
Did you?
Did you actually
make it up, or did you just look at Portsmouth and find it?
I don't know what Portsmouth is.
Well,
I made it off 20. I made it off 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we have for you this week. Hopefully, come back, join us next week. We will probably actually be dropping an episode Saturday morning because there's just so much happening with this team. We thank Dan for joining us again.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, guys, for inviting me again. Appreciate it.
And we're looking forward to more Cavs basketball. Thanks for listening and enjoy.